GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Once a month, GHRT has the privilege of turning our attention to matters of the Maine National Guard, and Major Carl Lamb is back in our studio with guests. Major Lamb, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you so much, gentlemen. Thanks for having us back.
You bring a couple of familiar faces, or at least one familiar face, back into our studios.
Yes, sir. So joining me today is Master Sergeant John Knobloch. He's a member of our Joint Operations Center and at Camp Chamberlain. And my second guest, I guess, needs no introduction to you, but perhaps for your listeners, Ms. Susan Falloon is the Public Information Officer for the Maine Emergency Management Agency.
She's slumming it by coming back here.
Yeah, she walks in like she owns the place, really. Wow. And she does.
I don't.
Member of the program brought us together. Susan's always been...
I can't be held responsible for this disaster.
No.
Speaking of disasters, it's disaster
nice
preparedness
transition.
Month, right? And you guys always seem to be prepared. Guys and gals always seem to be prepared.
That's right. The National Guard likes to pride itself on being always ready, always there. And in addition to the 30,000 National Guard members that are currently on duty overseas on any given day, there are an additional 10,000 that are on duty at home, on missions at home. Last month, we were fortunate enough to appear alongside our sister agency, the Bureau of Veterans Services, to talk about Suicide Prevention Month, because September has a number of observances. And we thought it would be appropriate to appear alongside our other sister agency, Maine Emergency Management Association, to talk about National Preparedness Month.
And so the ball bounces, Susan, into your court.
Well, yeah. So every year we recognize National Emergency Preparedness Month. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it happens during hurricane season, during peak hurricane season in our area. And so that just kind of makes it just a little bit more relevant. People are thinking about what they would do in case of an emergency, especially if they're getting ready to head to Florida like you are, George. And we talk about this every year. You know, you're getting your plan together, getting your kit together. But lately in Maine, you know, we've seen other situations that are not natural disasters. And that's something that we encourage people to prepare for as well. So we want to remind people to have a plan, and that plan should be discussed with your family, your neighbors, whatnot. So you know what are the risks in your area? How will you get your notices? Have an emergency kit together. What's your evacuation route? What happens if that's blocked, if it's flooded, if for some reason you can't go that route? Is there an alternative route? Have those things all figured out and discussed with your family, and figure out where you're going to meet if you are not together when that emergency starts out. And then if you suddenly have to flee your home, we want to remind people to be prepared for that as well. You're not going to have time in some cases. You know, we've seen some fires lately and some other situations where people have had to suddenly leave their homes. So do they have all of the necessary things that they could just grab and go? Do you have insurance information, your medication, just a few things in a bag that you could just grab and go if you did not have time to look around and collect those things?
Well, Susan reminds us of what we as citizens should be doing to prepare for ourselves and our families. Master Sergeant Knobloch, I see at the Joint Operations Center, you folks are preparing for things that, well, we're not keeping our eye on. What do you folks do?
Well, it's absolutely an ongoing issue every day. Everybody is used to, at this point, the National Guard just showing up and helping out with the hurricanes. But one of the things we've been emphasizing this month is trying to remind everybody who's listening that every one of those soldiers is an individual, and they themselves need to be ready as well. Sort of what Susan was just saying about having a plan, getting a kit ready. Because at any moment, the National Guard could be called. And that's a lot of individuals. I mean, I do remember going to Hurricane Sandy. It was very, very quickly. I said, yes, I'll go. And I'm heading down there. And the whole ride down, I'm now thinking about all the other things that I should have been thinking about 2 weeks or 2 months ago. Do I have the only ATM card? Do the kids know, or does the school know who can pick up the kids now? All of these little things that need to be taken care of need to be taken care of in advance.
Yeah, you take a look at... Carl, you look at Houston this last week, which like maybe the last 6-7 days. Houston all didn't really plan to be underwater, but they were underwater. It happens out of the blue sometimes. In fact, Arizona's getting belted off of a tropical storm now. You just never know when this is going to come.
Well, that's true, George. And there's a lot of things that the everyday folks walking just down the street, you might not be thinking about something like that. But that's why we're fortunate to have people at Maine Emergency Management Association, whose job it is to look at potential issues that could come up. That's what they do on a daily basis. That's part of their everyday work. So we're thankful to have them on our team.
Susan, I want to pivot back to you, because if there is not a crisis knocking on our door, often people are not paying any attention to it. I'll go back to the Patriots. I'll go back to the Emmy Awards. But they shouldn't.
We're paying attention to it. We pay attention to it every day. No matter the situation, sometimes it may be political. Sometimes there may be a storm heading our way that's a long ways away, but we start looking at it way out. Sometimes we need to step in and maybe send some folks to other areas to help out. And we also have the benefit of being able to tap into those resources here in Maine, should we need to do that. But we're constantly watching, we're constantly preparing. Maybe it's a matter of something that has affected a small community, and we are a support agency. So what we will do is we will provide some of the resources if it's a little more than that town or that county is able to handle. That may come in the form of sheltering. That may come in the form of helping to filter some of those donations. Certainly when we have an emergency, we don't want people to suddenly start sending a large amount of stuff to that area. We will help coordinate getting donations, and that would likely come through an agency like perhaps United Way. We work directly with the Red Cross. We also don't want people to self-deploy to an area where a disaster has taken place, because that can cause some additional issues. If it's in a hurricane area, it can put people in danger in that area, in addition to the people who are already there. If it's something like a fire or another event, we don't want to have all kinds of people wandering around when they're not part of a coordinated effort. So that's something that we help out with as well.
John, even now, I was just checking radar. There are three systems working either off the Pacific coast or in the Atlantic that could potentially cause problems. So you can't, people often say, well, you guys are blowing this out of proportion. You've got to be ahead of it. You can't wait till 24 hours. You've got to. And I can tell you from my Florida experience, you better be ahead of it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that Susan just kind of alluded to is a lot of this stuff is invisible to the common Maine citizen, and that's a good reason. There's always exercises going on throughout the state, and it's always based on the partnerships. So the examples you're talking about, these systems right now, National Weather Service is looking at it. National Weather Service is briefing Maine Emergency Management Agency, and they're bringing in all of the partners, and the National Guard is one of those partners as we start preparing for these things. And maybe if it's bad enough, we start shuffling some equipment and some personnel around to prepare for whatever's going to be hitting us.
Major Lamb, you've talked to us before about the support services. I'm going to stick with the banners of the Maine National Army, Air National Guard here just for a moment. You talked about support services. Are there specific support services in place to help members of the Guard as they have to immediately deploy to, say, a natural disaster, to make sure that they have that extra ATM card for the spouse that, as John referred to just a moment ago?
And it's interesting that you ask that, because we just had last week an event at Camp Chamberlain to talk about a lot of these things. And Master Iron, if you want to hit on that just a little bit, some of the things you talked about with the families and service members there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an opportunity for the service members to hear from the partners that were at our state headquarters. And it was everything from the Red Cross to Maine Emergency Management Agency. But also our family program was there. And there are all these resources that are available. Again, a lot of it comes down to basic planning. But when the inevitable problem does happen, there are some additional resources out there where we could help a spouse that's left behind for a week or so because the boiler decided that week that they were gonna die. Those are out there. We actually have the support staff that are ready to take those kinds of calls. We actually have a 1-800 number for the Family Assistance Center, where it's operational all day long, not just during a disaster, where those types of needs can be met.
You know, Susan, if it was just the weather, it'd be one thing, but we, in the last 10 days, Farmington, Old Town, these tragedies that occur, these sudden events that all of a sudden just the local people just can't handle everything by themselves. It's just impossible.
Yep, absolutely. And those are times when we step in that, you know, we're kind of in the background because we are that support agency, but we are working with those communities to help them coordinate those donations, to help them get sheltering, to help them with grief counseling. One of our partner agencies is DHHS, and they do have some resources that they can work with folks in those communities to help. I mean, disasters can be very emotionally challenging, especially if there are fatalities involved. And so we need to think about all of those different aspects of it. In fact, later today, I'll be attending a donations and volunteer coordination training. That's a 3.5-day training. Believe it or not, that's one of the biggest issues that happens when we have a big hurricane, because suddenly you're having to manage additional resources that you didn't have to manage, in those unsolicited donations and those unsolicited volunteers showing up on the scene then cause sort of an incident within an incident. And then a couple of things that we'd like to remind people of as part of National Preparedness Month is, taking some of those financial aspects of it and thinking ahead. Sometimes the power is out for extended periods of time in the state of Maine. And so do you have some cash on hand so that if you couldn't go purchase some gasoline, maybe the tanks aren't running and it's just a cash only operation. And we do see that. We actually saw that in the windstorm of 2017. Those are things to think about. And flooding is one of the biggest risks that we see in Maine as well. And we tend to be underinsured when it comes to flood insurance. Flood insurance is not part of your typical homeowner's insurance. It does take 30 days to go into effect. It is an add-on. There is an additional cost associated with it. You don't necessarily need to be in a flood zone, as a lot of folks in Texas have found out several years in a row that you don't necessarily need to be in a flood zone to get flooded. So flood insurance is certainly something that's worth looking into.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.